It's the Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Ever since Pennsylvania passed legislation in April legalizing medical marijuana, many businesses are wondering how they can cash in. So how can you invest in medical marijuana? I'm joined now in studio by U.S. Cannabis Pharmaceutical Research and Development CEO Michael Patterson, who joins me in studio. Michael Patterson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You can join the conversation with a comment or question by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Michael Patterson, the governor signed Senate Bill 3 into law this past April, making Pennsylvania the 24th state to legalize medical marijuana. Right now, the Department of Health is in the process of creating rules and regulations for its use here. Is there any news on the progress there, and how much longer do you think we're going to have to wait?
Well, that's one thing that people keep saying to us and other groups is that the waiting. But what people need to realize is that this industry is starting from scratch. So Pennsylvania has one chance to get this right. You don't want to roll this out and have a lot of different problems as they've seen in other states. So the way they're going to work it is the Department of Health should be done somewhere around, you know, the 6 months being October, November, somewhere around there. And one of the first things you're going to see come out is the application process for the grower, processor, dispensaries, all those, and that entire process. So what we expect is and what has happened in other states is that you're going to have that application process most likely end early next year, maybe January, February, and then the state will have probably 3 to 4 months to decide who the winners are. Once the winners are picked, then the grower processors especially, they'll be under the time crunch. What a lot of people don't know is once they get awarded a license, they have to build their facility out. There's no legal place to grow marijuana in the state of Pennsylvania right now, so they have to build their building specifically to grow marijuana. The crop has to grow, then they have to turn it into the process, into the through the oils, the gels, the tinctures, because they're not allowing any flower or plant. So by early 2018, it should be up and running. And that's a very quick process, what people in the industry know. And it's a good process, and I think that's a very good timeline, because you don't want to open and then discover you don't have enough medicine. That's what's happened in Washington State as well as other states, where they open for a week, they have to close for 2 weeks, they don't have enough product.
So these are the problems that you were alluding to earlier.
Correct. In other states, for example, Washington State, they would have groups that would open up, buildings and stores would open up, and then have to close because there's not enough product. So you want to make sure you have enough product so once the stores are open, they stay open.
So what kind of jobs will this create?
Oh, it's going to be a ton, Paul. Not just with the grower processors, but so many ancillary businesses. For example, each of these businesses, they're going to have air conditioning systems. They're going to have janitorial services. They're going to have, in a grower processor, you're going to have people actually working to grow the plants. You're going to have attorneys. You're going to have accountants. You're going to have payroll people, because most people, they're aware there's banking issues with medical marijuana because it's illegal federally. So you may have to pay all your employees in cash. Well, how do you do that? You're going to have safe companies to actually build large safes, transportation companies. One of the things they're going to come out with after the Department of Health creates their rules is they're going to come out with a whole transportation process to where you can actually have a transport company. Because remember, you're going to have to transport it from point A to point B. You cannot grow the marijuana where you sell the marijuana. So you're going to have somewhere to get it back and forth. So we see a lot of those types of opportunities. Plumbing companies, any company that's going to go into these facilities are going to have some sort of check system by the Department of Health, whether it be a background check, whether it be some training of some sort, because you don't want that, quote, back door to where medicine's leaving where it shouldn't. So if I own a plumbing business in Pittsburgh and I want to be certified, well, through our seminars, you're going to find out what that's going to take in the fact of how does this law work. Now, they haven't come up with the actual certifications for ancillary businesses, but what we encourage people is our seminar is going to go through the entire law. You need to understand the law to figure out what type of regulations you're going to have to follow in order to be in this business.
So if I'm a business, if I'm sitting here listening to this and saying, well, I can help in that area, I can provide janitorial services, or I can provide a service that transports the product from one place, from point A to point B, or when it comes to air, supplying the air that's needed for this operation. How does a business get involved?
Well, typically what they're going to do is what we encourage them to come to our seminars, and they're able to meet different people who will be in the business. So therefore, if I'm a plumber, I'm going to meet people who most likely will be in this business and in this industry. It's a great way to go ahead and start your customer base. Then close to October, November, when the Department of Health brings out their rules that they've written, they will have some sort of area in that on how to apply. But those businesses will start a little bit later because, especially with janitorial, once they're up and running, start a little bit later. But the state will have specific guidelines on how to do that. For most likely for the janitorial or the ancillary businesses, support businesses, there won't be a ton. And mainly it's going to be the background check issue. And also one of the big areas they're looking at is diversion. So if anybody has been convicted of anything dealing with drug diversion or, of course, trafficking, they're not going to be able to do that.
You will not be employed.
Yeah, you will not be able to do that. Even in an ancillary support business, they will not allow that.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Michael Patterson. He's the CEO of U.S. Cannabis Pharmaceutical Research and Development. He's in town for a seminar this weekend where Pennsylvanians can learn everything they need to know about the recent medical marijuana bill. Michael, what are people usually confused about when it comes to medical marijuana?
It depends on what their angle is. Meaning, if I have growers and they say, "Well, I've grown 20 plants in my garage. I can do this. I can do this on a large scale." If it comes to somebody who's in a dispensary, they say, "Oh, I can just throw up a building and I can just start selling it." So typically what we see is people don't understand how meticulous this is in regarding the actual lawscape. My background, I've been in healthcare for over 22 years. I ran a $200 million skilled nursing chain. I've run pharmacies, I run laboratories, and I'm so used to dealing with the Department of Health and all these issues. So what we try to educate people about the law is understanding what the law are, how they will be enforced, and how you can stay compliant. Because a lot of people, what we tell them is, you're not in the marijuana business, you're in the compliance business. Because if you're not compliant, you're not in business. So it's a really big part. And part of the application process for licensures for grower, processor, and dispensary states that you have to prove that you can maintain these regulations. Because if you can't prove that, then they're not going to give you a license.
412-246-2002 if you want to join our conversation. 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM. On Twitter at ESSPGH. Michael, do you think that the state of Pennsylvania is doing a good job of informing the public about medical marijuana?
Well, so far, I think they've done actually an excellent job. The fact that they came out last week with they're trying to figure out rules in order to allow children to get this medication from other states. I think they've been very informative and they've listened to the public and how they've written this law. This law is one of the best medical marijuana laws we've ever seen compared to other states. To give you an example, New York only has access for 20 stores in the entire state. You know, Pennsylvania is going to have over 150, or actually have 150 to start, and they're going to have 25 places to grow it. New York, you only have 5. What happens is when you don't have enough access, then enough patients can't receive the medication. New York has been up and running since January. There's only 1,200 patients that have qualified and actually picked up their medication, where they're expecting over 500,000 will qualify. So there's a problem. The patients can't access the medicine. Commerce, meaning the stores, can't sell the medicine. So the system's not working. Now, they'll eventually figure it out. But what Pennsylvania did, they said, you know what? We realize that's a problem here. And they looked at other states where there's problems. So the bill that's written, that the law that's in place right now, is a very good, solid law. It brings good access, it brings good controls, and it brings good regulation to ensure that the medicine's only going to who it's supposed to go to.
There's a perception that a lot of people have that people trying to get into the marijuana business are just opportunists looking to cash in. How would you address the concern that people have who are skeptical that those who are getting involved in the business don't have the best interests of people that need medical marijuana to help whatever condition they might have acquire it?
Well, I think that's a huge fallacy. Typically, what we see, the people who contact us, whether it be in our company, we do a lot of consulting nationally and internationally, and we see a lot of groups, Fortune 500 companies looking to get into this. We see individuals, and typically the people who come to our seminars are law-abiding citizens who want to figure out a way they can help people, but yet they can make a dollar too, and there's nothing wrong with doing the right thing and making a good living. Our thing, what we see, is we see people coming from all walks of life. We've had people at our seminars from age 21 all the way up through 75, and we find that people, especially in Pennsylvania, they need to step up to make sure this works, because this medicine's not going to grow itself and the medicine's not going to be able to be delivered by itself. And so this is where the advocates who camped out in Harrisburg for so long, they did their part. Legislatures, the legislature did their part. Now it's up to the people of Pennsylvania, the commerce part, to step up and make sure this runs well. So typically what we see is people are coming into this for the right reasons. It's to help people. But yet if they can make a living on it, they definitely want to do that too.
412-246-2002. Let's go to William in East Liberty. William in East Liberty with a question for Michael Patterson. Hi, William. Welcome.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, William. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Quick question. I went to the Department of Health website and looked over the new regulations. And one of the things about the date of activation, I qualify for medical marijuana, and there's still this run-up time to build up to actually get it going. But it is now. First question is it legal now to have medical marijuana if it's, even though I can't find it in the state, if it can be acquired from another state? Like, how does it work up until there is a dispensary in Pittsburgh where, I could go with my doctor's letter or the Department of Health certification and get what I need?
Well, basically, William, what I'm hearing you say is that, if you bring it in from another state, can that qualify? And I know the Department of Health is looking into all the different legalities of that. Typically, what we tell people is if you're going to bring in medication from another state, it really doesn't matter what that state says. When you go across state lines, that's interstate trafficking, no matter how you look at it.
I'm not saying I would personally just go to some other state randomly. I'm saying that the Department of Health, do they have a way to handle someone, requesting medical marijuana by going through another state that already has the laws and the dispensaries in place?
I guess what you're saying, William, is that for the people that this law was created for, and as you said, as you pointed out, Michael, Pennsylvania has to get it right, so they're going to have to do their due diligence and take their time setting all this up. But in the meantime, there are people that are waiting to get the medicine.
Right.
And so what do they need to do? Can they order from another state?
Well, as of right now, that's what the Department of Health is trying to figure out from the information that we got last week with the secretary. To me, William, she was kind of vague on that because, to be honest, if I'm her, I don't want to give a lot of details because those details could change because as they're figuring this out. So as of right now, William, my answer to that would be no, I would want to wait until the Department of Health has specific guidelines on their website. And I think those will be coming soon. So right now, we just have to kind of do a wait and see approach. Different states, it's going to have to look at different states for their rules with reciprocity. So can you go to New York and buy this yet? I'm not exactly sure about New York's rule for reciprocity. You will eventually have to have some, if you go to another state, William, from Pennsylvania, you'll have to have some sort of card in the state of Pennsylvania saying you're a medical marijuana card holder. We don't have that ability yet. Another thing, William, that we're going to have to all deal with is getting doctors to recommend this medication. They're going to have to go through a training class and then petition the state for a license in order to be able to recommend this medication. So we're going to have to get the doctors up and running. That education class has not been created yet, William. So that's where there's going to be a little bit of a delay in getting people these cards. So I think we're not there yet. I'm hoping probably by next spring, they'll be able to have the card system where people can start getting cards through the Department of Health, even if we don't have medication. That way they can go to other states and receive the medication and bring it back.
Let's go to Oliver in Pittsburgh at 412-246-2002. Oliver with a question that has come up quite a bit. Hi, Oliver. Go ahead.
Hi. Let's say that everything happens, like fast forward 2 years from now, and all the things that you just said work. But is it legal for your employer to not allow you to work if it's in your, like, it's a drug test, if your job mandates a drug test? Is that legal for them to do that, or will that come up?
Correct. What you just said is it's legal for them to, quote, discriminate against people who use medical marijuana. From the legislation, it states that businesses are not required to use that as a caveat out of it. It basically says that they should try to make every best effort in order to allow it, but they're not required by law to mandate that they have to have people receive it. Now, there's a couple caveats where they said, for example, mining or close quarters, you're not allowed to have it. But typically what I see, Oliver, in most states is that businesses are not required to look at that as a real real is a bad word, but a regular medication that people can take. For example, in the healthcare industry, in healthcare jobs, if whether it be nursing, doctors, and so forth and so on, a lot of people, they will not allow their employees to take that, and they still do drug testing. There was an article in, I believe it was Time Magazine, that the Wall Street Journal is actually not drug testing their employees for marijuana anymore in Washington, D.C., because Washington, D.C. is physically legal. So you're going to start seeing those barriers drop. But in high litigious industries such as healthcare, I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Let's take a call from Alex in Gettysburg. Hi, Alex. Welcome.
Hi, and thank you for speaking with us, Michael. So I'm actually in the process of opening up the medical marijuana dispensary in Middletown. I've actually spoke to the council, and I've had pretty good support there. But my question is, what do you think the process will be like to add new conditions that will be approved through Act 16? For instance, Alzheimer's and dementia is enlisted there. However, you know, one of the fastest growing demographics of medical marijuana users is adults 55 and over.
Yeah, I think what they're going to do is they're going to put that into a process. I think the Department of Health will work a lot with the Pennsylvania Medical Association, and they'll, in most states, what you've seen, Alex, is they developed a committee. They're forming the Medical Marijuana Advisory Board here in Pennsylvania, and we're going to go into that in the seminar. But basically, it's going to be from people from the governor on down will be a part of this process. There'll be medical people, the physician general of the state of Florida. I'm from Florida. State of Pennsylvania will be on there. And what you're going to see is those people will have a committee, and it'll go in front of a committee, and then they will have experts who go in and talk about whether it should be on there. I'm assuming, based on what they've done so far, being having 17 diagnoses, including autism, which most of us know is the first state in the nation to include that in a medical marijuana diagnosis code, I think it'll be a fairly fluid process with that, because you're right. People 55 and over are typical users of medical marijuana. People don't realize that. And with Pennsylvania being one of the oldest states in America, population-wise, that I think you're going to see that trend even higher. So I think that once they fill in that board, then those people will start looking at that. And it'll probably be on a biannual basis of some sort, or it probably won't be every quarter, but probably twice a year they'll look at that, or maybe once a year.
Alex, thank you for that call. Elizabeth could not stay on the line, but asked why medical marijuana won't be dispensed in pharmacies.
That's a great question, because right now in pharmacies, you can only have drugs that are approved federally. And since marijuana is not a federally approved drug, it's considered illegal by the United States government, federal government, that's one of the reasons they're doing that, because it creates too many problems. Now, if it runs Schedule 2, a lot of people say this, if it moves to Schedule 2, could it move into pharmacies? The answer is we don't know. But one of the caveats people don't realize is, right now, you cannot have flower or actually plant. The plant material is not legal. However, the Department of Health in the rule has been given the authority to vote on that, to change that down the road. If you're going to do a pharmacy and you have raw plant material, for a better word, lying around, it creates a lot of issues in a pharmacy. So I think we've had this discussion with a lot of different people. We feel they're going to hold off on that. And in some states, if you're going to see big pharma trying to get in to do pharmacies, but right now, since it's a Schedule 1 drug, I think that's the most logical reason why they're creating separate dispensaries.
And one last call from Matt in Pittsburgh. Hi, Matt. Go ahead.
Hey guys, hey, my question is, is the FDA going to be involved in the quality control of products and all the medicine that's going to be produced? And if not, how are things going to be controlled? My background is in food and microbiology, food testing and whatnot. So I was curious as to if there will be jobs created, chemically and microbiology wise. I'm just curious as to how, the quality control of things being produced.
And Matt, that's a great question. So what they're doing is the state has created a laboratory set division to where for these, where if laboratories want to apply to be to test this material, they can, and they're going to have the testing. What they're going to test for, the actual contaminants. That hasn't come out yet. That will be coming out when the DOH releases their rules. So that type of testing is going to be mandated. Now the FDA does not test this, because remember, it's illegal federally, so they're not allowed to test this drug for any contaminants. However, with your background, I definitely encourage you to look into this, because not only from your background from a testing aspect, but from a creation of medication aspect, because the state is not allowing edibles. What that means is you can't sell cookies and cakes and things like that. because of the problems they've seen in other states with people taking too much.
Over-consuming.
So you will be allowed to have the oil, and the patient can go home and make their cookies themselves, but the stores will not be able to do that. But your background is huge, because with my background being in skilled nursing, we had a lot of food issues because of the population we're dealing with. And so the more education we can give to people, and people with your background coming into this field, the better it will be.
Very quickly before we wrap this up, because we're over time, I don't know if we've answered whether insurance pays for medical marijuana.
It won't, because it's federally illegal. No insurance will pay for it.
Well, you've been a wealth of information. Michael Patterson, he's the CEO of U.S. Cannabis Pharmaceutical Research and Development. He's in town for a seminar this weekend where Pennsylvanians can learn everything they need to know about the recent medical marijuana bill. Michael, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Coming up, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak on the day he met and interviewed Muhammad Ali. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.